This is how, so it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Well, now that sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? The Word. Who is the Word? You know, if you've not read a bit of John's Gospel, who is the Word? Well, in the first 13 verses of the Bible, of John's Gospel, John has told us that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And so the Word is John's way of referring to Jesus before he's born in Bethlehem. That's what he's talking about when he says the Word. And so when John says the Word became flesh, he's saying God the Son became a human being. That's what he's saying in very simple terms. And so if you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard that so many times, you know, 10, 20, 30, depending on your age, you know, how many Christmases you've gone through. The Word became flesh. And we get so familiar with it, it should be a remarkable thought. But actually, because if you've been around church for a bit, it might not be as remarkable as it really is. Maybe we got too familiar with it. You know, because God is so big and so strong and so mighty. And yet, that first Christmas, he shrank himself down to a baby, to being small and weak and puny. That's a remarkable thought, isn't it? It's a bit like this. Just imagine if I was to shrink myself down and become a Lego man. Just imagine that, okay? And that would be very limiting. As a human being, I can do many things. So I can wave my arms about that. I can jump up and down like that. But if I became a Lego man, I'd have to have like a fixed expression on my face, wouldn't I, like that? And I'd have hands like that, and I've got to move my arms like that, and my legs like that. It'd be very limiting, wouldn't it, if I became a Lego man? And so for God the Son, Jesus, to become a human being, it'd be a bit like if I or you became a Lego man. It was limiting the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, to being a human being. And our verse goes on to say something else about it. I don't know whether we can flip back to that verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So quite literally, John says, the Word, God the Son, became a human being, became a bit like a Lego man, limited himself, and came to live with us, came to pitch a tent with us, you know, to dwell with us, not to be from afar, not to be in a palace, but to be with us, with the everydays in out of ordinary life. And again, surely that's an amazing thought, isn't it? That God would come and live with us in all the mess of our lives and the mess of our world. And so John met Jesus and spoke to him, saw how he lived, saw his life, saw everything about him. And so John can tell us what Jesus is like. And he tells us this about Jesus. This is the next bit of verse 14. Should it come up? There we go. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. So John says, when Jesus came, we saw his glory. Now, that's a very strange word. You know, maybe we think we know what glory means. Maybe we don't. What does glory mean? Well, to put simply, glory means to see someone's goodness, how good they are at something. So, children, hands up if you watched any of the World Cup. We got some people. Yes, hands up. Brilliant. If you watched any of the World Cup, then you would have seen this person. Okay, who's this person? Shout out. Messi. Who said that? Yeah. Messi, I'm sure most of our houses are messy if you've owned presents before church. This was Messi, and you would have seen Messi play, wouldn't you? And you'd have seen how good he was at football. Messi showed how good he was at football by scoring that a number of penalties. Dare I say it, maybe this may be a bit too soon. Harry Kane, take some notes. Sorry, Tottenham fans, but anyway. And when he scored that great reactive goal, and yeah, he won the World Cup for Argentina. And as we saw how good he was at football, the Bible would say we saw his glory. And so Messi showed us how good he was at football. So we saw his glory in that. And John says, I had front row seats to see Jesus, and Jesus' glory was so much better than Messi. Not talking about football, not even sure that Jesus even played football, he didn't. Rather, Jesus' glory was seen in his goodness. And so we're going to look at Jesus' glory too this morning as we look at his goodness. And seeing what Jesus is like is really important, because as we see what Jesus is like, we see what God is like. So that's the big question that we're going to have a think about this morning. You know, what is God like? Here we go. So that's what we're thinking about this morning. What is God like? Because we're not going to understand, you know, because God's invisible. God the Father is invisible. We can't see him. We need someone to tell us, to show us what God is like. And so John's going to say there's two things about Jesus that's so good that tells us what God is like. Well, in order to find out what God's like, I need a volunteer to come up and do something for me. Yes, Nathan, come on, let's go. Okay, got a present to unwrap. I'm sure this is probably not the first. This might be a bit bigger than your lip balm. Can you tell it's wrapped by a guy? You know, look at these lovely presents. Go for it. Oh, did you want to start unwrapping this? Nathan? Oh. Oh, what have we got in there? This is not the first time we've done this today, is it? Oh, there we go. Amazon delivering again. Shall I take some of that? Okay, do you want to open the box? Oh, so what's inside? Do you want to take the mouse? Do you want to take what? Just take that out and take the other one out? Great. Oh, can you get that one? Pull it. There we go. Thank you. That's really good. Thank you, Nathan. Do you want to give that a sit down? So the first thing that we see about Jesus' goodness, that Jesus is full of grace. Got a present the right way on. I should have wrapped it like, but I didn't have the time nor the skills to do it like that. Jesus is full of grace. Hopefully that should come on the screen. There we go. Who came from the Father, full of grace. Oftentimes we think about grace as being a gift, which is why we've got a picture of a gift. But what does grace mean? Well, grace means that Jesus is full of undeserved kindness towards us. He is full of undeserved kindness. Let me illustrate it this way. Can I have another volunteer from the children? Yeah, do you want to come up? Want to come up this way? Right, I've got this unopened box of celebrations. Do you like celebrate? Do you like chocolates? Yeah? Can I give that to you? And that's yours? And probably don't eat it now. Probably you've had a bit too much sugar already. But why not go back and enjoy that with your family? Okay? Thank you for coming on. So what I did there... I don't quite know what happened there. What I did there was an example of grace, of undeserved kindness, of giving something, giving a gift that someone didn't earn, someone didn't give. They didn't pay for it. They didn't earn it. They could go and enjoy it. You know, I did it to show an example of undeserved kindness and have a sermon illustration for Christmas morning. And so grace, being full of grace, means full of undeserved kindness to people who didn't earn it, who didn't need it, who didn't want it. Jesus is full of grace, full of undeserved kindness. Now, I can be full of undeserved kindness when I'm on stage here on a Sunday, on a Christmas morning. Don't expect me to be full of undeserved kindness at 6 a.m. on a Monday morning if you wake me up. And yet, Jesus was full of grace, full of undeserved kindness all of the time to all people. So when hungry people came to Jesus, he would feed them. When sick people came to Jesus, he would heal them for their sickness. When disciples messed up, and they did again and again and again, and needed forgiveness, Jesus would forgive them and never mention it again. And he did this when he was refreshed and raring to go. And he also did this when he was tired and didn't really want to do very much. When he was exhausted, he still was full of undeserved kindness. And so Jesus is a remarkable person, isn't he? To show that undeserved kindness throughout his life, that grace to everyone. And at Christmas, Jesus shows us what God is like. He is full of undeserved kindness that he longs to show to us, for people who haven't earned it, don't deserve it, but he longs to be generous. So if you love and follow Jesus this morning, and you mess up by failing him, the great news is that he is full of undeserved kindness towards you. He still loves you, and he still wants to forgive you again and again and again. And he will joyfully forgive you. He's not someone who's very miserly. He will definitely forgive you. Now, some of us, even as Christians, we're going through a hard time at the moment. And it can be hard to see Jesus' undeserved kindness through the life circumstances that we're going through. We may not be able to see it, but Christmas is a reminder that Jesus is full of grace, of undeserved kindness to us, if we are trusting in him. So Jesus is full of grace. Okay, some of us might be wondering, but why do I need God's kindness? You know, life's going pretty well for me at the moment. Why do I need God's kindness? And that's the second aspect of Jesus, why Jesus' goodness is so important. So let's have a think about the second way that we see Jesus' goodness. So I need another volunteer to unwrap a present. Who's going to volunteer to unwrap a present from the children? Anyone? Anyone? Go on. Who said me? It's a bigger one. Who's coming out? Anyone? Do you want to come out and unwrap this? Gone the tricky way. Mind the wires. Okay. Off you go. Go for it. It's like Fort Knox, isn't it? Oh, this is what it was like this morning. Oh, again, another Amazon delivery on time. Oh, it's a bigger one. Maybe because Amazon couldn't find a smaller box. Oh, do I get rid of that? Oh, there we go. And I think it's on this side. Oh, there we go. It opens up that way. Oh, make sure that one's off. Oh, yeah, go on. Oh. There we go. Okay. Do you want to show the picture to people? That one there. Okay, thank you. And then the words, thank you. Okay, so Jesus is full of truth. I don't get the sticky thing to address. Thank you so much. So Jesus is full of truth. And so that's the second way that Jesus shows his goodness, his glory. He's full of truth. And it's good, isn't it, when people tell us the truth, isn't it? So imagine if you had a dirty face, children, if you had a dirty face and your parents said, I didn't tell you anything. You go into school and you get laughed at. Oh, I've got a dirty face. Should have had a wash. But when our parents say, oh, you have a dirty face, you need to wash it off. That's good, isn't it? That's a good thing. So it's really good that Jesus is full of truth, isn't it? He tells us true things about God and us and true things about ourselves. And we really need to listen to Jesus because he tells us the truth that we're not automatically friends with God. Now, why does Jesus say that? Why does Jesus come to earth and then, as he grew up, tell us that we're not automatically friends with God? Well, it's because we live our lives as though we ignore God. And the Bible says that we go our own way. And the Bible calls that sin. And that sin makes God angry. And Jesus tells us the truth that if we keep on ignoring God, if we keep on turning our back on God like we were doing in the actions, then we'll end up perishing because we're God's enemy and he will punish sin. Now, that doesn't sound very Christmassy, does it? We're not going to get that on the radio when you hear all the different Christmas songs. But Jesus tells it because he is full of truth. I'd rather him tell it me now than not tell me at all, and I get a really nasty surprise at the end. And Jesus says that we are by nature God's enemies, and it's all our fault, and that's bad news. But the good news is that being full of truth, Jesus is also full of grace. And remember, grace means undeserved kindness. And the biggest act of undeserved kindness that Jesus shows is that he's willing to bear the punishments that we deserve. So stick up your hands if you've got an older brother or an older sister. I've got a few more over here than over there. It's interesting. Okay, I've got an older sister. She's 2 years older. Now, just imagine you're the younger one and you're having a really bad day. And at home, you've got an ornament which your parents really love and you think is really ugly. My mum and dad used to have one of these on the shelf. There we go, a Toby jug. It's actually more expensive than you think it is. It's a bit ugly, isn't it? Just imagine if I was having a really bad day as a kid and take that Toby jug and just smash it on the floor to show that I was angry. How would your parents react? Well, of course, they would be angry. That's not right. They might say, well, we're going to cut your pocket money so that you buy me a new ugly Toby jug. Now, just imagine, maybe if you're a younger one, you might need to stretch your imagination here. Just imagine your older brother and older sister stepped in and said, no, don't worry, can you take out of my pocket money? I will pay for the damage that my brother or sister did. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Maybe you think to yourself, that would be remarkable knowing my older brother or sister. That would be amazing if that happened, wouldn't it? And that's a bit like what Jesus does for us. Because I know it might seem hard, but in 3 months' time, many of us will be celebrating Easter. And at Easter, Jesus died on the cross. And at Easter, Jesus steps in many ways, our older brother steps in and says, I know that these people have sinned and turned their backs on you. I know it's going to cost something. I'm going to step in and I'm going to bear the cost on that cross at Easter. And that's an unbelievable act of grace, isn't it? That's an unbelievable act of undeserved kindness. And so at Christmas, Jesus shows us what God is like, and Jesus is full of truth. Now, if he was only full of truth, he wasn't full of grace, then that would be devastating, because he probably might say, if he was just only full of truth, say, well, you know, you've messed up your relationship with God, it's your own fault, you can't do anything about it, tough luck. But Jesus' goodness is also that he's full of grace, full of undeserved kindness towards us. And so when Jesus tells the truth, it will always be spoken with undeserved kindness. So children, I'm sure there are many people that you are listening to in your lives, maybe your parents, your teachers, your friends. However, if Jesus is full of grace, that he's kind and he's full of truth, he tells you the truth about God, he tells you the truth about yourself, then are you listening to him? Obviously, you need to listen to your teachers, you need to listen to your parents and others, but are you listening to Jesus? What does that mean for all of us? Well, some of you might be here because it's what you do as a family on Christmas Day. Maybe you were even being dragged here on Christmas Day. Maybe that's that's how you feel. What do you make of John's claim that Jesus is full of grace and Jesus is full of truth? Because if John is right, and that Jesus is full of grace and truth, Jesus is worth listening to. Jesus is worth basing your life on, isn't he? Well, you may not be persuaded. You know, not all of us here would say they're Christians. And so let me give you one reason to think again. So his words are so full of grace and so full of truth that Jesus' words have become common in our culture. So, for example, our culture often talks about the Good Samaritan, doesn't it? And normally what we mean by that is that someone, a stranger, comes along and does give kindness to you even when you don't deserve it and you're in time of need. Well, hey, You know, Jesus told that parable of the Good Samaritan. And in 1953, a vicar in London set up an organization called, you've guessed it, the Samaritans, which have helped thousands of people in this country in emotional distress. So this penniless Jewish preacher who was lived 2,000 years ago, spoke in kind words, words of grace, words of truth, have crossed boundaries, crossed ethnicities, crossed borders, crossed cultures, crossed languages, crossed time zones, to impact 21st century England for the good. And with this in mind, if that is the case, isn't it worth giving the life and teaching of Jesus a second look if you're someone who's not convinced? One way you can do that is to pick up a biography of Jesus' life and read it. And as you read it, think through, can I see Jesus' undeserved kindness? Can I see his grace? Can I see his truth as I read it? If you've never done that, please do pick up one of the copies. There's some on the table on the outside, some on the desk in the foyer. Why not do that? However, we may be someone who is following Jesus at the moment. And if so, we need to be reminded that Jesus is full of grace and Jesus is full of truth, that he speaks truth with kindness. Because there will be things Jesus says that we don't like, even as Christians. That's a surprise, isn't it? It may be a surprise for a pastor to say that. Sometimes Jesus says things in the Bible that we don't like. Or maybe sometimes Jesus says something in the Bible that we find as Christians emotionally hard. But Jesus never speaks the truth to hurt us, to damage us, to break us down. Rather, he speaks the truth with kindness, with grace. And that means there is kindness in what he says, even when we don't like some things he says. There's kindness in what he says, even though we find that emotionally hard sometimes. And the challenge for us this Christmas Day, if we are Christians following Jesus, are we prepared to listen to Jesus even when he says some things that we don't quite like? Jesus is full of truth. Well, today we celebrate the Son of God becoming human and dwelling with us. And the great thing about God becoming human is that we get to know what God is like. So we don't have to be in the dark. We can look at Jesus and see what God is like. We see that God is full of grace, undeserved kindness, giving gifts that we don't deserve. And Jesus is full of truth, telling true things about God and true things about ourselves. I'm going to close in prayer. Why don't you pray along with me? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you haven't left us guessing as to what you're like. Father, thank you that Jesus' birth at Christmas shows us that you are full of grace and full of truth. Would knowing this have an impact on us for this rest of this day and into the coming year? And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.